Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Marianne, who is here to speak with us about her experience of participating in New Year's retreat. Welcome, Marianne.
Hello, Jen. Happy to be here.
Hey. Yeah, thanks for being with us. I was thinking today, it's always hard to believe when the time of year rolls around and wanted to sign up for the New Year's retreat, but I will say that I don't know about other places, but the weather is suddenly taking a turn where I realize, oh, yeah, we are, sure enough, we're in that time of year. And so we thought, given that registration is open for the New Year's retreat, that it would be fun to have a veteran of the retreats come join us to tell us about your experience firsthand. So thanks for being with us to do that.
Okay, well, I'm happy to be called a veteran.
Well, one of the things that occurs to me to ask you is, what has you sign up year after year? What is it, would you say, about the New Year's retreat that you feel inclined to participate year after year?
The first year I came, it was because I was suffering. So that was...
That's a good reason.
That was a good reason. And then it was, I guess, to practice. But I think this year I am coming to celebrate. To celebrate what I've done in the year-long retreat and to be with Sangha.
You know, Marianne, those three things that you just laid out, that's quite beautiful, the simplicity and the just how true that is. So when we start out in practice, I mean, almost certainly we're starting out in practice because we've noticed we're suffering. And then we're lucky enough to encounter a process that assists us to end suffering. So we start out in a really suffering place. And then we keep coming back because we want to practice. We realize that's what's going to lead to freedom. That's what will end the suffering. And then at a certain point, we just want to celebrate the success of all of that.
Yes, that's how I feel.
Wow. So say more about what you're celebrating.
Well, because I was asked to do this, I looked at some of the journals I have kept because the program has a workshop component to it. So I looked back at what I worked on in those different retreats. And what I could see was how I've changed. Mm. Even from last year, I could just see
wow.
the change. And it just, you know, if I hadn't maybe gone back, I wouldn't have recognized how the depth of change. It's amazing.
That's a lovely commercial for going back to look at through our notes and our recordings of various retreats and other sorts of things. Because that is it. That's such an amazing way to have that reflected for us, isn't it? How much has changed for us.
Yes. One of the things I came across was a letter of appreciation to myself. And when I wrote that letter of appreciation, I was appreciating the things I did for other people. And this year I went, wow, I am just appreciating myself. And my life, and it's not about the other, it's about just that I'm here and that I'm practicing and that I'm waking up.
Yeah, right. And that, you know, when we go to that, there is no self and other, what we realize is that's all one process. And then I project when you were looking back at that letter of appreciation and that it was filled with things of appreciating what you do for other folks, that's a start, right? But then you realize, oh, wait, that's so interesting. Why would the letter of appreciation have to be everything this person is doing for someone else? And then we kind of move along and begin to see, wow, that's all one thing. There's not taking care of, I mean, we've seen it so much in the year-long retreat, right? It's not, well, I either take care of you or I take care of me, but it's all one process of care.
Yes, yes. That was very nicely reflected and very astute of you to to frame it as one process of care.
Mm, yeah. And, you know, as you were saying, looking back over your notes, I was reminded about one of the things that's so fun about that retreat is that for the last many number of years, Ashwini has created a beautiful, amazing curriculum for those retreats. And then that really, that often becomes the foundation of what carries us through kind of the themes that carry us through the next year of practice.
Yeah, and the thing is that you get to focus on something, but mm-hmm. like you focus on one thing, but it also encompasses everything. And yeah, the workshops have been very touching, very moving.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess in moving, it's emotionally moving, but it is kind of psychologically moving us closer to seeing how to end our suffering.
Mm, great point. Great point. That it's moving because I project it puts us in touch with that suffering that's happening, but it puts us in touch with it in a disidentified kind of a way, which creates often brings up that compassion for ourselves and for everyone, right? I mean, one of the other magical things for me about the New Year's retreat is it's the largest retreat we hold of the year by quite a bit. In fact, we don't hold it at the monastery because the monastery is large and have the number of folks, you know, that we want to have that want to come to that retreat. And so to hear so many people speak about their experiences and how moving that is, and I love your point of, and then that, along with the curriculum that's offered to us, moves us in our own practice.
Yes, and the, you know, I cannot say enough about the learning that takes place in the group setting. You know, it mm-hmm. is mm-hmm. like the environment at Val Ambrosa is very supportive, and the collection, the gathering of the Sangha is another part of that container that really supports a sense of safety and a sense yeah. of exploration and yeah. a sense of being able to take a risk.
Mm, lovely. Which is really required, right, in practice as we go forward, that courage that it takes to face the things that the condition to turn away from, to distract from, to, and that retreat environment, you know, as much as possible, takes away those distractions and then offers us the support to have the courage to really look at them.
And I think, you know, just by the end of the retreat, everybody is so open-hearted and supportive mm-hmm. that, yeah. you know, it is extremely uplifting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really is. You know, as you're
just that the heart please. Is filled.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. You know, as you were talking, I keep picturing that that meditation hall. Can't you just see it in your mind's eye? Especially
yes.
in the evenings. You know, we've had this amazing day of practice, yoga twice a day, you know, gentle, beautiful yoga that really takes care of us. You know, the amazing food, a guidance appointment with the guide, with Sherry. And then in the evening, I won't give it away so people can see when they come, but how beautiful that meditation hall is. And just that feeling of coming in and placing your shoes in that hallway and coming down and entering that big room with all of something. It's just magical.
It is. And it is just a very particularly magical on New Year's Eve, like it's the best New Year's
yeah.
Eve.
Exactly. We don't want to give any details away, but I'm right with you. Exactly.
You know,
very
it's,
special.
It's a beautiful ritual. It is. Well, you know, if you're going to give yourself a gift for Christmas or Hanukkah or any other celebration, this is the best gift you could give yourself.
Yeah, yeah, that's lovely. That is lovely. Because as we often say, you know, I think it's a Buddhist tradition that you want to end one year the way you want the following year to be, which essentially is another way of saying what you practice is what you have. And so what a perfect way to end the year and the way we want to begin the new year.
Yes, and, you know, to do it together.
Exactly. To do it together. Yeah. Yeah. Well, Marianne, I see that we're at the top of the hour. Was there anything else before we end?
No, just that I feel very privileged to have been on this retreat and that I'm going again.
Yeah.
And so, I approach it with gratitude that that this is available.
Yes, exactly. And what occurred to me as you say that is the gratitude that this is available and the gratitude that so many folks want to participate, right? Because there's all of what put together, you know, the curriculum that Ashwini puts together and, the guidance appointments with Sherry and the food that's so beautifully prepared and the person who puts the yoga together with so much care. And there's every person who wants to show up to do that. And as you say, as we've been talking about, that's a huge part of the experience is everyone who comes to kind of offer their own practice, if you will, to the retreat.
Yes, it's very special.
Yeah.
And I highly recommend it.
Yep, me too. And I'll see you there.
I'll see you there, Jen. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks, Marianne. Thanks for being with us. Take good care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Marianne. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. How you doing?
I'm good. That conversation got me excited for the New Year's retreat.
Oh, my gosh.
That's great.
Oh, my gosh. Two things about that. One, when Marianne said, you know, going there to be with Sangha. I thought, yeah, that's where I go. that's it for me. That's tops on my list because of all the things that they laid out. And then when Jen said, everyone comes, I think she said, to share their practice, or to bring their practice. Can't remember what the exact wording was. I'm going to take a facilitator training class here pretty soon. But there was just that image of that's exactly what's going on. It's like it's like all those religious images of, everybody bringing the best of what they have, the very best of what they have to offer to everybody. And that's the, you know, the gift that is then shared. And it's just so, it's so wonderful because, again, there's so much conditioning that people have that, oh, well, I don't matter, or my practice isn't that much, or, you know, I haven't done, or whatever it is that the nonsense of ego is talking to them about. But when everybody shows up and is practicing together and sharing those insights and having those transformative moments, it just gets us all sparkling.
Yeah, yes. Yes, it does. It's definitely my experience of it.
And I will tell you that I am sparkling. I'm a little more lit up than I usually am, which is, you know, kind of even alarming to me. But we just got power back in my neighborhood after 3.5 days of no electricity. And let me tell you, you know, I often say we live in solidarity with our pals in Cantalomba. And yes, we do. Like with the monastery, there are lots of similarities. And for people who, you know, are staying in a hermitage and that sort of thing, it's true, there's no electricity. But to be suddenly in that place where there is no light except, you know, what you're able to sort of pull together on your own. You know, there's no running yeah. water. There's no, it's really, I don't know how to say what it is, but it's gratitude producing for me when it comes back on, just, you know, not yeah. to, not yeah. to take it for granted. And yeah. it also inspires me to have as much as possible available to our loved ones in that community. Because, you know, when we watch when they get a roof on their house, not a new roof, they've never had a roof, so they get a roof on their house, and they are, you know, they are dancing and singing and just carrying on like it's the best thing that ever happened to them, because it is. And when they can get fresh water, clean, healthy water for their families, you know, when they have something to eat, when their kids can go to school, you know, when there are books in a library and they can, you know, all these things that, you know, that usually we can take so for granted. And boy, just 3.5 days without it. And, you know, it's a, okay, yep, yeah, I'm in appreciation. And again, yeah. I just don't want to be casual at all about what we are assisting our loved ones over there to have as well, because it just makes such a huge difference. I was thinking, you know, and not to get too far into this, but, you know, there's no showering, right? There's no showering. And just the act of getting clean is such a four-act play. And for those people to have spent so much of their lives, the adults, you know, until we came along, all their lives, without that simple ability to have soap, to afford soap, and to get yourself clean, you know, it's just, it's sobering and it's inspiring and exciting and heartening and all that rolled into one.
Yes. Yes, it strikes me as you're talking that the idea of taking for granted really is everywhere all the time, seems to me.
Yeah, so I run out of soap, right? Oh,
awful.
I have to go to the store and buy soap. I have to get in my car and drive to the store and buy soap. Poor me.
Yes.
You know, we just get so far away from realizing how blessed we are. And it's so easy to focus on what's not working and what's wrong rather than the thank you for every single thing in our lives that works for us. And it is so easy. You know? So anyway,
exactly.
I'm pretty wound up because it just happened.
Yes, yes, I can hear it. And for a communication like this that we're having right now, electricity is a key piece of that puzzle.
Oh, exactly.
Yes.
The morning show, you know, it just wouldn't happen. All of the things, us getting together for the New Year's retreat, you know, it's because we have all of this stuff. I mean, people fly in literally from all over the world. I mean, not like there's going to be thousands of them from around the world, but people do come from all different parts of the planet, and certainly all different parts of this continent, because we have a lot of Canadians, as we just learned, one especially coming down, well, two that I know of off the top of my head. And so, it's all of this that is so beneficial to us, that we love so much, that has made such a difference in our lives, is because we're so blessed with an easy life. And even though the voices in our head on any given day want to talk to us about how hard and miserable our life is, you know, when we get a little taste of how much worse it could be, it brings us right back up to, okay, well, let's say thank you for all that, and then let's let's do work on what we want to add. Let's work on that. but not focus on lack and deprivation to the exclusion of gratitude.
I'm with you, sister, all the way.
Yeah. All right. Well, what's coming up, Michael?
Well, what's coming up in just 2 days, Sherry, you will begin a fun and interactive email class on communication in times of stress. The class will use the Enneagram to explore what tends to stress us out, how we behave under stress, and how to alleviate stress through communication.
Mm-hmm. Bringing together some of our favorite topics.
Uh-huh. Yes, very timely.
Mm-hmm.
And a new group coaching class, the first of several practice offerings that benefit Living Compassion Africa, will support the practice of conscious eating just in time for the holidays.
Yeah, stress, eating. These are important topics around this time of year. All right, when does that happen?
Yes, the 4-week joyful eating class includes conference call group sessions on Wednesdays beginning November 20th.
All right. And go ahead, Michael.
I was just going to say, you take conditioned mind, which generates the stress, and then you eat that, and then you communicate poorly, and then there's Christmas.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And then we dread, and we can't wait for our loved ones to leave. Okay, that's very good. And if my understanding of this is correct, people who are offering these practice offerings, all of whatever people put in the pot for that goes directly to the folks in Cantalomba, right?
Yes, great.
Do I have that right? Yeah.
That's my understanding.
Okay, good, yeah. Good.
And celebrate 2019 and welcome 2020 with a community of folks dedicated to practicing conscious, compassionate awareness at our New Year's retreat, December 27th through January 1st in Menlo Park, California. That's in the San Francisco Bay Area. And this retreat features group discussions, guidance with you, Sherry, delicious food, and free time to spend in nature on the beautiful, spacious grounds.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. And for these and other practice opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org.
Right.
And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, please press *6 and then 1 to make a show and get in the queue. And a conversation on one topic of about 5 minutes is great.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think that covers it, Sherry. You ready?
All right. Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, here we go.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Sherry. This is Carol in San Francisco.
Hello, Carol.
Hi, Carol.
Hi. That was very informative. I'm glad to hear your power is on over there.
No smoke, blue skies. Yeah, all prayers for folks north of us and south of us, although I understand the smoke is making it to you. Is that correct?
Yes, but nothing like last year. Last year was really, really much worse so far. It's not bad so far.
Good. I hope it stays that way.
Okay.
What's going
on? Well, I'm calling because I want to ask about how to have compassion for yourself when you're in a self-hate storm. And, what my experience of that was this weekend is I felt life was saying or something was telling me to, it's time to get rid of the gas car, it's a luxury, and it's time for me. Not everybody, just me. And so I've done a lot of research on it over the past 2 years, and then finally it was time to really go and do the stuff. So I did the negotiations and a lot of research and everything, and then so I want to do this for my teeny little part that I can do for the environment. But so anyway, I came out of there on Saturday night with an electric vehicle, and it was quite a bit of money. And I had, you know, you just never know how you're going to do in negotiations, right? So, and then on top of that, like 2 years ago, for the last 2 years, I've been really working on getting out of debt, and I did. I got all my debts paid off, canceled my credit cards, and I thought that was a good thing, right?
Oh, dear.
I thought that was wonderful. And so they're like, oh, yeah, you have a zero credit rating. And so I did have to really work hard to, you know, see what I could get them down to, but, you know, it wasn't like somebody that has a lot of credit cards would have gotten. Anyway, my point is that after I left there, I don't know if this is buyer's remorse or what you want to call it, but I felt like, not right away. I mean, I got home, you know, it is about 35 miles away in the blackout at night. I knew how to get home on an electric car for my first time. But after that, it's so, I experienced so much like fear and panic, like I couldn't think clearly. I couldn't make decisions, and the brain was going ping pong, ping pong. You shouldn't have. Why did you? Blah blah. So I got out of that. I said, no, we're not doing that because it's done. I already made an intention. Whatever you decide will be fine. You've done your homework. I've consulted with people. I had my people that they're like I'm accountable to, and whatever I come out with is what I'm going to come out with. I was in so much panic, like, on the night, like, Sunday night, you know, like, the charging stations. I don't know which part of the malls, and, you know, I don't know. I just was so much panic. I woke up at 3:50 a.m., you know, like, come on.
Yeah.
And it was like I could hardly move, but it's like, it's okay. You're all right. You have to get in the car, and you have to drive down there and just see what happens. If that one's broken, then we'll try a different one.
You're not saying at 3:50 in the morning you decided that you were going to do this.
Yeah, I got up at 3:50 so I could start get there before, you know, the lines and stuff.
The crowd.
And so in time to have my meditation and my, you know, my prayer and meditation in the morning before going, you know. But anyway, my point is that this whole process has been so physically uncomfortable. It's like, I can't stand this. This is too uncomfortable. I have to go unconscious. So the fight is to stay and say, it's okay, this is so horrible. It feels like you've done the worst thing in the world. You're in a deep financial debt right now, but remember why you did it, and it's going to be okay, you know. And how do you go that sense of just like something's terribly wrong, my body's shaking.
Well, and let me get this straight. So while you were reassuring this beleaguered human being, you were hearing the voices of why have you done this? What's the matter with you? Oh my God, this is horrible. You're hearing all of that, right?
Yeah, yeah. That one would pipe in, then another would, and like, where's the adventurous person? Where'd she go? She's been steamrollered, and now this other person's here.
Now, let me ask you the question that everybody hates when I ask. Did you listen to recordings?
Yes, I listen to recordings all night, every night. So that's going.
Okay.
And even if I can't hear
but
it.
But not during the day. Here's the thing. Attention can only focus on one thing at a time.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, that's just a fact, right? And so if attention is not on something, it's going to be on ego. And, of course, this is just what? How can we say, what is this? You know, this is like a party, right? It's New Year's Eve. It's champagne and firecrackers for ego, right? It's candy.
Yeah.
It's just everything that it dreams of. My God, you did this thing that you were apprehensive about in the first place, right? And then it can just come roaring in and just attempt to crucify you, right?
Yes.
And so
exactly.
During that time, it is essential that you are listening nonstop to, you're fine. You don't need to engage with that. That's bogus. It has nothing to do with you. It's just a hateful system taking advantage of an opportunity. You did what you wanted to do. You're doing something, what you can do for the planet. This is something that you've thought long and hard about. You know it's what you wanted to do. It's part of your overall well-being scheme. You got rid of your credit cards. You made that decision so that you can get out of debt. And now you've made this decision. And yes, it'll cost you money. They would not give you that car. And so, yep, that is true. And you're fine. You've done nothing wrong. In fact, you've done everything right. You've done everything exactly right. You wanted to do what you could do for the planet. You did all of the research to find out how to do that and what to do. And then you did it. This makes you a really good person. Okay? So we're not listening to any of that other stuff. It's just hateful, horse pucky, designed to try to take the fun out of this, to try to take something that is wonderful and turn it into something awful and use it against you. And you need to be listening to that kind of thing all the time. It's like you have the best coach in the world just right there with you, basically drowning out that negativity.
Well, that's so helpful because it is, and I hear it pipe in, you know, like, it's okay, this is all right, I gotcha, you know, and then it'll be like it's quiet and it'll be there, but
that's
the one that I really want to. And of course, when you're tired,
Carol,
and yeah,
Carol, the fact that you hear that is because of your practice, right? Those voices are meant to just go right over the top of that for a person. So you would never, the person would never even have a glimmer of you're fine, you're good, I've got you. It's what, right? You're not supposed to hear any of that. All you're supposed to hear is that berating. Yeah. So what you want to do is support that voice. You know, every time you hear that voice, engage with it. Yes. Thank you. What you're saying is, and what I see is.
Oh, like facilitating it almost.
Yeah. Agreeing. Yeah. It's like you've got the best friend and you cheerlead for each other.
Oh, I love that. That's a better ping pong match.
Way better. Yeah, in fact, if you like that image, you and the mentor, and that's who that voice is, right? You and the mentor could ping pong those hateful voices back and forth. That's the little ball, and you serve, and then the mentor hits it back to you, and then you hit it back. That's a good image.
Well, that's so important that we can only focus on one thing at a time. So even if that little flame is a little smaller, but to be able to fan it and make the recording, as soon as I calm down enough to make those recordings, that's, you know, probably this afternoon I will.
And as you make those recordings, you will get calmer. And the pushback is going to be tremendous. So just stay with it. Just keep at it.
That's what the mentor was saying too, you know, like you have to expect this, you know, and just like you said, you know.
And so add to that recording all the things you love about the car. I bet it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's sparkly dark gray.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so beautiful. I'm afraid to move it. I don't want to.
Right. Drives like a dream. Right. You never knew anything could be that quiet. Right. You're in there. It's like, are we going? Yeah. Yeah. So don't let it take the joy of that away from you.
Okay.
And here's the last thing I think is important for us to consider. Love is never as loud as hate.
Oh.
It's deeper. It's wider. It's beautiful. But it's not going to yell at you. It's just not.
Okay.
But hate will. Hate will.
So that's how, you know, I mean, it's getting up more and more obvious which is which to me over time. So
That
quiet, still small voice.
That's right. That's why we're listening. That's why we always have to listen, which is wonderful because it's up to us to turn our attention to what we choose, right? Again, you know, that the mentor isn't going to make us be in relationship with it.
Oh.
It's just not. We have to ask. We have to choose. And when we do, of course, it's right there, right? You sit down and say, oh, my gosh, have I made the wrong decision? You know, you say that into your recorder. And then you listen to it, and the mentor is going to say, of course you haven't made the wrong decision. This is wonderful. This is what you're doing. This is who you are. You're somebody who cares about the planet.
Great. So you can ask that into your recorder, and that's how you talk to the mentor. That's one way you talk to the mentor.
That's right. That's right. Ask that still small voice to talk with you. Yeah.
Awesome.
And again, it's the voice that's saying, you're okay. I got you. It's all right. I'm right here. Yeah. And the more we engage with it, the more present it is. It's always here. Always here. We're just used to ignoring it in favor of that shrieking voice of hatred.
Wow, thank you. I really, really appreciate
you.
You
are so welcome.
Direction. All right,
oh,
you guys
yeah.
stay safe over there at the monastery.
We'll do our best. Thank you. You
all
too.
Right.
Try to only
you.
Breathe out for a while.
That's right. All right.
Okay.
Thank you all. Thank
Thanks,
you,
Carol.
Mary. Okay, good night.
All right. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Carol. Sherry, what I appreciated about that call was just laying out in every bit of detail the whole self-hate process with the specific
mm-hmm.
content. It's just so instructive. I mean, for me, it's not the content of buying a new car, but it is something. Something else.
Oh, right. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. The what it's talking about is different, but how it does what it does is exactly the same, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. Tries to yell us down, you know, just yell at us and call us names and tell us we're stupid and we're an awful wrong person until finally we just collapse. But not anymore. Yeah.
And Sherry, we're going to hear from our recording and listening program, and then we'll come back and talk with more callers.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Recording and listening is one of the most powerful tools for ending suffering. Recording and listening is based on a radical idea that rather than being lost in a conversation and conditioned mind, we can live in what's true, what's real, what's arising in life in the moment. With recording and listening, we develop the powerful skill of directing the attention, enabling us to access the wisdom, love and compassion that is our authentic nature. We have a 6-week virtual class to train in this amazing tool and experience its benefits. Sangha who have taken this class are saying that learning to direct the attention opens up endless possibilities and so often provides clarity and hope. Others report that finding refuge in my own voice and strengthening the awareness of the mentor is both transformative and powerful. Now is a great time to sign up with a recording and listening trainer. This class is perfect for brand new folks and old timers alike. To sign up with an individual trainer, simply email rltrainer@livingcompassion.org. Please check the website for quarterly group classes as well. Experience the joy of presence with the support of Recording and Listening.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Sherry, I wanted to remind folks that the Practice Recorder app for iPhone exists. It's great for recording and listening.
And
iPhone users can find it on sale in the iPhone App Store.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah, and I found it really great.
It eliminates all that. Where was that recording? What was the one on? Yeah.
As long as I can find my phone, then I'm good.
Exactly. Yeah. We need an app for that, but it doesn't quite work that way, does it?
Okay. We are ready for our next caller here, Sherry.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Andrea. Can you hear me?
We can.
Yes.
Oh, great.
Loud and clear.
Oh, great.
Sound good.
Good. I just wanted to be sure. Well, the last time I talked to you, I was talking about a situation that I've been experiencing with at work, which is with a coworker who I'm having difficulty with, who I had heard was gossiping about me. And when I had shared about it, what came up was that there was a part of me that had, as a small child, had felt like no one liked her. And so I made a recording for that and listened to it. And I've been really working on this. I've been writing out all the self-talk because this is work too. So I've been basically using the retreat around it as well.
That's good. Yeah. That's handy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I have so many sub-personalities that have been coming up. But what it seems like is when I made the recording to reassure that young girl, it didn't seem like it really hit the spot. And so I'm feeling a little stuck. I feel like there's definitely a lot of self-hate and ego that's using this as an excuse to, torture me. And the other thing I noticed is that it was really bad this weekend where, even though I wasn't at work, it was using that story to get me to suffer. And I was identified during the whole weekend. And so that's one thing I've been noticing. And then I've been, for the last 3 days, I've been writing stuff down at work as it comes up and really doing this retreat and writing all the beliefs, assumptions, and all this stuff. And I think there's some other sub-personalities out there that I hadn't noticed before. But I guess I kind of feel stuck, like...
Okay.
I
got an idea.
Okay.
Because I think you're right. I think it is probably absolutely the case that the one who would like you to believe she's a small child and need something is not. It's actually just ego using a story.
Right.
And the way we get there is the way you got there. You know, if supposedly there, I have a small child who is upset about XYZ, and no matter what I do, nothing helps.
Yeah.
This child, in quotes, just stays upset. Now I'm going to start suspecting that is not a child because that is not how children operate, right? But that is how ego operates. No matter what I do, it stays stuck in the same place. So let's fast forward then to the adult, okay, the grown woman.
Yeah.
And because, you can certainly begin a process of befriending her.
Right.
Just take all the aspects of the personality out of it. Okay? And if we narrow it down in that way, then what we've got is a grown woman who is being tortured by self-hatred.
Right.
Yeah?
I was just going to say, so it manifests as self-hatred, it manifests as hatred directed outward, and the other thing it manifests is as fear and feeling awkward, and whenever I have to think about this person and face her, there's
That's
all
right.
this fear.
That's right. Which is why, you've been doing this for a while, so I know you know this, but I'm going to say it for anybody who hasn't been doing this for a while and doesn't know this. So the point of practice is for us to move into an orientation to the human being, in this case, Andrea, who has experienced herself as separate from life and suffered as a result. And what you have the opportunity to do is to move into the conscious, compassionate awareness that can save her.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So
right.
There's an authentic human being, and she has suffered and struggled. She feels without recourse, right? Nothing she does works. She just doesn't know what to do, and so she suffers. You, and it's funny to think about this, because we could say she, but that gets confusing because she doesn't have this experience. But you have the ability of coming to center, as evidenced by the fact that we're having this conversation.
Right.
You practice.
Yeah.
You picked up the phone. Okay. And you can see her suffering. Just this weekend, she suffered all weekend long. And she gets pulled into these places, taken over, right?
Mm-hmm.
Taken over by self-loathing and then by spewing that same thing out onto somebody else, right? And we can feel when the human being has been taken over in that way. And so we've got these kind of three parts going, right? So there's the authentic human being who was born, and you have a child, so you know that place of innocence and defenselessness before all of this stuff begins to work on us, right? Before ego is well-formed and takes over and the karma is running the show and all of that.
Yeah.
You have the person who has been the recipient of all of that, who has endured all of that, and you have the conscious, compassionate awareness that can see all of it.
Yes.
Because we just did, right? We just saw it all.
Yes.
All right? Yeah. Yeah. And so that's what we're developing.
Mm-hmm.
So you, conscious, compassionate awareness, feel sympathy for her. I mean, she's really suffering and struggling. You, conscious, compassionate awareness, can see where she originally came from, the innocence, the defenselessness, the sweetness, and then all of the stuff that happened that resulted in this identification with ego. Conscious, compassionate awareness, you can see all of that. And so you're moved to sympathy for her. And that's where the work happens. If you leave center, if you leave conscious, compassionate awareness, the odds are really good you will identify with her. You will get pulled into, I'm making little finger quotes, being her.
Right.
And then all is lost, right? Because there's no way out. She's just floundering, right? And so what we are committed to as practitioners is the very best we can to stay at center, as conscious, compassionate awareness, embracing that suffering person. And that's what the two-handed recordings are, right? So she talks about what upsets her and what goes on with her and how she feels. And you, conscious compassion and awareness, you listen to her and then you offer her support and guidance. And increasingly what we're doing as practitioners is ceasing to identify ever mm-hmm. with the identified human being, right?
Right.
So I'll often talk about that as, you know, people are going around in life and they've got a three-year-old going to work and they've got a four-year-old in an intimate relationship and they've got a six-year-old trying to parent children who may be older than six. It's a mess.
Right.
Okay. And right. But
yeah.
if as we train to stay in conscious, compassionate awareness, then whatever is there, we can embrace into conscious, compassionate awareness, which is where the healing happens.
Yeah, yeah, I definitely see what you're saying. So, so basically being able to be in that centered place and not identified with all of the suffering that's happening.
Yes, yes. And so the work that you're doing, it sounds like, especially from the morning class, yes. is to get clear about that. All those messages, all the projections and the beliefs and the assumptions and all of that stuff. So you're really familiar with what goes on with her.
Right.
And those are signals to you that, okay, I that's not me. that's that person who's the result of all of this stuff that happened. And my job is to support her and help her. Not, I mean, here's what it comes down to, Andrea. She should mm-hmm. never go to work. She should never, ever go to work.
Right.
Now, can you do that all the time? No, because we always slip up and then they slide into work because we forgot to be centered, right?
Yes.
But to the best of your ability, she never goes to work.
Wow.
Because it's cruel.
Yeah.
She's incapable. She can't do it.
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
only
funny.
Center can do it.
It's funny, you know, because one thing I noticed in the exercise of finding the missing subpersonality was I found a rational one or someone who seems rational who's basically trying to figure it out, and that can also get me
yeah.
stuck, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Really stuck. Yeah.
yeah.
So now you thought you had one child, but you realize, ooh, there's a bunch of folks here. None of whom should be left on their own.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So you and because this gal is the you know the primary one who's up right now, and what the message to her is, I like you. And this is what I like about you. This is what I appreciate about you. This is what I love about you. This mm-hmm. is who you are. This is what you care about. You do this. You're this way. You look at the world this way. This is important to you. These are all the things that I value about you. And that's the message that you give her, just as it would have been wonderful if
yeah.
you had gotten those messages when you were young. And you probably didn't. Most of us
yeah.
didn't.
Yeah, yeah. And so basically, if I'm doing the two-chair, sorry, the two-handed recording.
Okay. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Two-chair goes back a long time ago. But, yeah,
it
if I'm
does.
Doing... Yeah, the two-handed recording, then, you know, that whatever those subpersonalities, you know, vent to and say what they want, and then it sounds like what you were just saying would be a response that a centered mentor would be saying. You know?
Yes, yeah. yeah. Just like if this is an actual real child,
right.
how would you want to respond to that child? Yeah.
I see. Yeah.
They're not real children, okay? They're aspects of ego, but we still want to embrace anything that suffers. We want to embrace it into compassion so that it heals.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Let me know.
Thank you. This is so.
Thank
helpful.
You. Oh, good. All right.
Yeah.
Take good care. Go okay. happy.
Go happy. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Andrea. Andrea, I just got an announcement here that I wanted to share.
Oh.
And that is that the next support call for the Bridge Walk Campaign for Africa, next support call is this Saturday at 10 a.m. Pacific. That's November 2nd. And the details for this call are at the Bridge Walk website, which is livingcompassion.org/BW2019. Again, that's livingcompassion.org/BW for Bridge Walk 2019.
All right. Yeah, they're a good time. If somebody hasn't hasn't joined, do yourself a favor. They're fun.
Yes. And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself? Next caller, are you there? Probably double muted, perhaps.
Double
yes,
muted.
Sorry, Judy from San Francisco.
All right.
Hi.
Hey. Calling to participate, join in.
Good. What are you seeing? What's going on?
What am I seeing? Lately, I've been seeing this sense of, oh, the other shoe's going to drop. Something's, life's too good. You know, there's going to be something wrong.
Uh-huh. So, you know, where I always go, Judy, with that is, wow, okay, well, I sure want to be centered then, don't I? I don't want to be off worried about something might happen when something happens, so I better be here.
Uh-huh.
Just kind of messes with conditioned mind.
Kind of right.
Wait a minute. Yeah. Because, I mean, if there's danger afoot, well, I want to be here because if I have to get back from wherever I was gathering wool, it, you know, when the danger hits, I'm going to be playing catch up. I don't want to do that. I want to be
right
here. I want to be the be the martial artist, right? Who's right here and centered and ready. And when it happens,
I'm right here. Yep. The worry about imaginary future. It's just a
way to wreck now.
A way to not be here now.
Yeah, because if life is really good, right, everything is really good, and I'm not able to enjoy that because I've got to worry about a time when it won't be, well, that's a bad deal.
That is a very bad deal. Dastardly.
Yes, exactly. So I might as well just enjoy the stew out of this. And then if something happens, well, it'll happen. And I'll deal with that. But while things are really great, I'm going to enjoy it.
Yeah. And when things are not so great, I'm going to enjoy that too.
And going to enjoy that too because that's what we call practice, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, it, you know, if I love tennis and I'm playing tennis and, boy, I'm on a winning streak. Boy, you know, I just can't hit a bad shot. Okay. And then I run into somebody who just trounces me, right? And then I'm in a string of, I can't seem to do anything right here. Well, this is called improving my game. Right, because now I'm needing to show up for things that weren't in front of me before.
Okay, showing up for things that weren't there before. Yeah, not as a good or bad. But I need to improve my game.
Right.
I just,
you know, it's kind of like. If you made it through the multiplication tables and decided to rest on your laurels, you know, because if you keep going, this math thing, it's not, it's just, you know, no, I don't want to do that. But if what I really want to do is understand math, I really want to understand how all that works, then I'm going to be excited for the next thing and the next thing. And it's going to build, right? Because, okay, yeah, I get that. Oh, geometry. Yeah, I get that. All right, what now? Mm. But if geometry is bad news, you know, it's somehow, you know, all my happy relationship with mathematics is gone now because now I've encountered this, and it's really hard, and I don't want to do that. I hate that. But if it's conditioning, we fall for that kind of thing all the time. Rather than, I'm getting clearer here. I'm seeing through things that I'd never considered before. I'm free in areas that I was afraid to even consider.
Yeah, I just got back from a trip to Mexico, and when I came back, I had some jet lag and a little bit of, you know, fatigue, and there was a story about, no, that's not good, to have jet lag and fatigue.
And then you could say, let's talk about my trip to Mexico. And after we talk about that and how fabulous that was and everything that I loved about that, let's talk about being home. How fabulous that is, and how much I love that. And, you know, by the time you get finished enumerating all of that, laying all of that out and exploring it and going through it and really savoring it, you'll be over your jet lag.
Mm. Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Well,
and
keep having fun.
Enjoy
what
it is now.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Exactly. Lots of thank yous. Lots of, thank you. This is fabulous. Love this. Fabulous. All right.
Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you, Judy. Thank you. Good
Talk
night.
Later.
All right.
Thanks for joining us, Judy. And Sherry, I think we have time for at least one more caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Chris calling from Boston.
Hello, hey, Chris.
Hi,
What's
Sherry.
What's going
Hi, Michael.
On?
Well, I have been meaning to call in and ask about something that came up particularly with the work focus for this month, which is something I guess you could call the comfort zone.
Yes. Now, I'll tell you right now, Chris, we call that ego's comfort zone.
Mm-hmm. That's
not to be confused with my comfort zone, right? You're right there with me? Okay.
So I think a big realization that I've had over probably long period of time has been that when I live in ego's comfort zone, it's like going backwards.
Yeah. You get really uncomfortable.
Right. And I think something that has been, I've just maybe wanted guidance on has been maybe you could say wisely how to wisely play the edge out of the comfort zone.
And Chris, can you give me an example? Like
sure.
Okay.
Yeah. So a concrete content example would be if I'm at work and I'm facing. Like with my thesis, I mean, that was the best example, right? Like that was like work. That was the content. It felt like work. Not doing it was avoiding and resisting and hoping it goes away, living in the comfort zone. And then doing it was, hard, but I loved in the call today where we're questioning what that word hard even means. But that was the road to deeper fulfillment.
Mm-hmm. Well, and when you say that, it's like going to the gym, right? Mm-hmm. It's a, you like to go to the gym and kind of a bodybuilder type or, you know, like to do weights and that sort of thing. And ego's version would be, hey, those 10-pound weights are plenty. Look at you go with those, right? Mm-hmm. But if you enjoy the process, you enjoy what it feels like for your body to be challenged, to be mm-hmm. offered something to kind of grow into, mm-hmm. and that feels really good. It feels good to do that. Is it hard? Yeah, if you're looking at it from ego's perspective, it is. And it's like your thesis. It's challenging. You've got to really be there. You've got to pay attention. You've got to buckle down. You've got to focus, right? And so those are all things that for ego are considered hard. Why would anybody want to do that when there's a television set, for God's sake, right? And yet what you get out of that, when you can get past ego's resistance, is that same great feeling of really applying yourself and doing something that you consider worthwhile, that is meaningful to you, being successful at that.
Yeah, yes. And I think, I mean, the language that you just said of growing into potential is, I think what I saw when you said that was that it is already there on some level.
Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Or you wouldn't be drawn to it.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so the things that we are drawn to us, to that are natural to us, are the things that ego is going to be most resistant to, because those are the places where we legitimately feel best about ourselves, where we enjoy and appreciate the talents, the gifts that are us.
And that reframing
go ahead.
Just that reframing is very helpful to realize that it's ego's discomfort out of ego's comfort zone.
Yes, yes. Because ego wants us in negativity, right? Which is the next piece of it, right? Not only does it say, you don't want to do that. No, you don't want to. That's not for you. That's not for you. It says that in all of the places where we actually do want it, of course. And then, so if I work for you and I really want to do this, okay? This is the career of my dreams. I have this job, right? Then what ego is going to attempt to do is set up as many roadblocks as possible. So I'm not going to come into this with an attitude of, okay, show me every step of the way. Because I've got to be somebody who knows something. You have to value me. You have to value my perspective. You have to respect me. No, you don't. Do I? This is back to the morning show, right? Sitting at the feet of the master. No, I'm actually here to learn from you what you can teach me so that I can have more of this thing that I want. So that's another way ego tries to keep us in its comfort zone, to make everything a contest rather than us just acknowledging this is what I want. I'm willing to put in whatever it takes to have that. And I'm going to learn from everyone and everything that I can find in along the way.
Wow. Yep. Yep. The phrase being at the feet of the master, and also to bring up an old one, how divine is this when we're in that process? Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's our comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
That's mm-hmm. the heart's comfort zone. Because there's no question about, do I deserve this? Am I the right person? Is this a mistake? Should I? You know, all those dualistic conversations that ego wants to get us in. It's just not there.
Wow. Well, this gives me plenty
to look at,
huh? Listening. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, let me know how it goes, okay? Because it's to me, it's just, it's so exciting. You know, it is just so exciting when we really get it. The ego is not what I want to be. I just don't. Mm. And so making ego happy, meeting ego's standards, living up to its information about comparisons and how I should be and how other people are and what this, when we get it that's not who I want to be, that's not the mentoring I want, good. What a relief. Now it's just possible to follow the heart.
And we are so lucky to even have listened to that and want to do it.
Oh, aren't we? I mean, if nothing else ever happened, that is the blessing of the ages. Yeah.
Well.
All right. Well, thank you.
All
go
right,
happy,
thank
huh?
you. Go
all
happy.
Right, good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Chris. And we are the lucky ones, Sherry, it seems.
We are. And we don't know why, but we just keep saying thank you.
We just say thank you. We just say thank you.
And just as Judy was pointing us to, just enjoy the good times. Isn't this good? Isn't this good?
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Or as you were saying, what do I love most about this? Or some variation on that.
Yeah. What do I love most about this? Yeah. What do I love most about now? Yeah. That's a full-time job right there. Right?
Yes.
And you know, Michael, I know we're finished, but I this just dropped in. What we attend to grows, right? And sadly, for a long time, we're attending primarily to ego, and it's getting fat and happy, right?
Yes.
But when we attend to gratitude, when we're in that place of just kind of awe and wonder that this has happened to me in my life, that I've seen this possibility in this direction, and for some of us, you know, this practice, to be in that, that's what grows.
Mm.
That's what grows.
Yes.
So if we want more of it, the secret is attend to it.
Yes.
All right.
And it's freely given.
More good. If we want more good stuff, just say thank you for all the good stuff, and it turns into more good stuff. More thank yous.
Yes.
All right.
More thank
yous. So thank you, Michael.
Wonderful. Thank you, Sherry.
Good
and
night.
Thank you, everyone. And
thank you, everyone. Yes, indeed.
Okay. Good night, Sherry.